And our reason for singing that is because we're going to talk about the light. Talk about the light that God has given us. Amen. Isaiah 60, arise, shine, for your light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and the deep darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. And the Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Thus ends the reading of God's holy word. I want us to repeat together our subject, the light is on. Can you say that with me? The light is on. The light is on. You may be seated. Father, we're so grateful for this privilege that we have. And at this time, we just still our hearts, our minds, our souls, that we might hear from you. And Lord, today as we sang that song, this light of mine, we recognize that it's not a little light because you didn't give us a little light. You gave us an extraordinary light. But we've made it into a little light because we've been reluctant. We've not obeyed you in your commandments. We've not followed the way that you have given us. And so we repent of our ways and we acknowledge your ways. Lord, we repent of the things that we limit you in. And Lord, we ask that you would have your way in our lives. Speak to our hearts now, God, and change us by what we hear. Let us be able, Lord, to shine as true lights in this dark world, that it might bring glory, honor, and praise to your holy name. We love and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, again, we welcome you to our services this morning. We're grateful for every opportunity that we have to worship God because it is a privilege. It is a joy that we have. We can come together as children of God and recognize the Lord and his goodness and his mercy that he's shown to us. Have you ever thought about a light? Have you ever thought about the shining of God's brightness? Most of the time, we would think about God himself revealing his glory. But this unusual passage in the book of Isaiah is a prophecy not only of a future event, a future when things will happen and with brightness of God will arise upon the nations and all of those who were in darkness he'll bring to the light. But it's talking about something that can happen, a reality. Something that can happen in your life and my life as we allow God's light to come on. Now we got to look at what's causing this light to be hindered. We talk about this light because we're celebrating what we call Advent. And Advent is simply the coming. And when we think about the coming of God, here is Isaiah hundreds of years in the future, or in the past rather, talking about the future of what's going to happen when Christ comes. What's going to happen when Jesus comes and he reveals his awesome glory to a world that's in darkness. Now, I can tell you that not everyone enjoys the light. As a matter of fact, when people have grown accustomed to the darkness, they're not going to welcome the light. They would rather have darkness so that they can continue to do the things that they're doing. But think about your life and my life, how that we once dwelt in darkness. We once dwelt in an attitude, in a state of mind that we didn't welcome God. As a matter of fact, we had our own life to live. We had our own priorities to go by. We had our own business to take care of. But then all of a sudden, through the gospel, through the message of hope, your light and my light came on. God spoke to us and said, it's time now. It's time now. This is what Isaiah is saying. He's saying, arise, shine. Now, we've heard the phrase, rise and shine. Where did it come from? It came from God. And it came from God to awaken us out of our own life and to choose the light that God has given you. Now, if you continue in darkness, let me tell you what's going to happen. Destruction is certain. If we continue to go our way, I know some people who are sitting in darkness, God just wants to come to spoil my fun. No, he wants to intervene in your life before you run off the edge. Before you get to the place where you're now in such destruction that there's no recovery. And so God's light comes on. His light came. His light came on in my life. His light came on in your life. As a matter of fact, you are here today because God's light came on. Amen. And God said to you, rise, shine. It's your time now. It's your opportunity. I want to live within your life. I want to reveal my glory. And no, it's not a little light. It's a great light because it came from God. Amen. The light is on. The light is on. As we celebrate Advent, we'll be talking about several things. Today, the light. Next Sunday, we'll be talking about the hope that we have. The hope that we have. Hope is not something you can see. It's what you believe in. It's what you trust in. You know what's going to happen. And so we'll be talking about that on next week. But let's talk about this light. How do you respond to exposure to light? You know, when you turn the light on, some things scramble. Get out of the way, you know. Yeah, and so the rodents and everything else, they don't want to be seen. Now, is that God's purpose for our life? Is that what he called us to? Remember when the light came on in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve recognized that they were in darkness, what did they do? The light of God's presence came on, and they ran and hid. God doesn't want you to hide. He says, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Let me first deal with this in context. God is speaking to his people Israel. God is saying to them, I'm going to cause my light to shine upon you so that all of the Gentile nations will recognize there's something going on in Israel. I've got to go to that light. Now, this prophecy was fulfilled when Jesus Christ came on this earth. It was fulfilled in Christ. Of course, there couldn't be any light without him. He is the light of the world. And you remember where the wise men, the magi, came from a distant land, and they said, where is he? What were they looking? The light had come on. A star had shined in the heavens, and they recognized he must be born. This king that was once promised, he must have been born. And so we've got to find him. Gentiles shall come to that light. But now that we think about the birth of the church through Christ, God is saying this message is now for you. This prophecy now applies to the church of the living God. God is saying, I'm going to rise and people are going to see me, but they're going to see me through you. They're going to see the glory of God. Now, I know you're shaking your head. Pastor, how in the world is that going to happen? Let me just share with you that the power of God is so awesome. It is so powerful that God can shine upon the darkest light, a darkest life, and cause that light to come into existence. As a matter of fact, when the glory of the Lord is revealed, he said, I'm going to transform desert places. When God's glory is revealed, he said, that which is broken, it's going to be healed and mended. That which is crooked, it's going to be made straight. When the glory of the Lord is revealed, that which is down shall be exalted. Because God is almighty, he is all powerful, and he knows how to transform his creation. Now think about this. God did not create you for darkness. He didn't create you for darkness. And if you don't believe it, why do we turn the lights on when we go into a dark place? Because we want to see. Now, that's an illustration that we need what we call illumination. Before the light of God, we were in this thing of darkness, and we wandered around, and we asked ourselves, and so they said the caveman discovered fire, and from all of that, he decided, I want to make this a light. And so now, along through the ages, you got a guy called Thomas Edison. He said, now I'm going to try to see if I can do something with this light. All of that is a natural illustration of what we're searching for spiritually. We need light. As a matter of fact, when we get depressed, we say we're going through a time of what? Darkness. When we feel alone, what do we feel? Darkness. Christmas is not a time of darkness. It's a time of light. It's a time where the brilliance of God comes alive. And God said, now, yes, I could light up the sky the way I did for the shepherds. I could do all that, but I got something different. I want to light you up. I want to set you ablaze with the glory of God. I want my glory to shine upon you. Why? Because the world is sitting in darkness. The world is in darkness. If you don't believe it, look at our world now. War, confusion, hatred. Does that sound like light? Now, God said, I could come in personally and I could correct it in a moment. But rather than me doing it, I'm going to work through you. Who's available? Who's available? All in favor, say I. Now, when you say I, you're saying, Lord, here am I. Here am I. Send me. And I notice the term that Isaiah used. He uses gross darkness, the worst of the darkness. As time progresses, and as mankind goes more and more into this dark tunnel of his own way, having his own desire, you're going to see more and more just mess. I hate to watch the news now. All I want is the weather report. All I want is the weather report. But I got to get past all this other stuff. This one murdering, this one doing all of these crimes, and this one doing that, and darkness, darkness, darkness. All I want is the weather. Amen. We're living in a world of darkness. But God says there's hope, saints. When Isaiah gave this prophecy, and as it's recorded in that passage of what some have called Deutero-Isaiah, and Isaiah was saying, there's going to be a time where God's going to light up the world. At this moment, the Israelites were in bondage. They were in captivity. They didn't even have their freedom. But God is saying, when the light comes on, I'm going to set you free. I will bring you into your land. I will present you to the world as my shining light. That's God Almighty. He says, but the Lord. Everybody say, but the Lord. But the Lord shall arise upon you, and his glory shall be seen upon you. That's Almighty God. Three things very quickly. Light illuminates. It brightens up everything. Darkness is still there, but the light is on. Now, if you notice that when the light is on, it invades the darkness. There's no more darkness. You might see shadows. But as soon as that light shines brighter and brighter and brighter, there's no more darkness because God has driven it out. Arise, shine, for your light is come, and the glory of the Lord shall arise upon you. 1 John says, anyone who is in fellowship with God does not walk in darkness. Now, when we get together and we say, what a fellowship, what a joy to mine. Now, it's not only a fellowship that you and I have in a relationship, what we call horizontally. I'm responsible for helping you. You're responsible for helping me. But also vertical. That relationship with God. If you are walking in fellowship with darkness, there's no way that you can walk in the darkness and not and have God in your life. You can't have both. Why? Because in him is no darkness at all. In him. And here's this amazing God. He knows you and all the issues that you have. And I didn't sneeze, by the way, issue. Some of y'all missed it. Yeah. By the way, we're not going to be touching anybody. We're just going to say hello. We're going to wave at them. You know, we was, you know, trying to keep that down. But if we have fellowship with God, and later on says, truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. If we have fellowship with God, we don't walk in dark. We don't practice darkness. We don't go the way of darkness. He that saith, I'm in fellowship with God and still walks in darkness, he's lying to himself. And he doesn't do the truth. Not only does the light illuminate, brightens up everything, but it rejuvenates. This light has warmth. It has heat. It has something that causes you to glow, but not only to glow, to come alive. You wonder why plants have this amazing thing, chlor or something, or whatever it is. And they go through this process of where whatever's in the plant is now trying to respond to the light. If the light is coming from this direction, the plant will start bending toward that. If the light is coming from here, it'll start bending in that direction. Why? Because when the light is saying, you need to come to me. When we see God's light coming into our lives, there's no way that you can continue to walk in that darkness, because God's light is going to change you. The glory of the Lord will rise upon you. Now, I can tell you, and I'm not, but I could tell you all the wrong things that I've done. I could tell you that. But I can tell you that the right things that are happening is not because of my own energy and my own strength, but I started responding to the light of God. I start allowing the light of God to mold me and shape me so that this light of God has now transformed my life. It's that light that's transforming you. You're not the same as you used to be. That's what he's saying. You're not going to live that same kind of life. You're not going to walk in that same path, because there's no peace walking in darkness once you've been to the light. You can't make a person feel comfortable anymore once they've seen the light. You've got to respond to it. And as you respond to it, that light gives life. Here's the way it says in John's gospel. It says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. In him was life, Zoe. We don't want to just live an ordinary life. We want to live the life that God gives. Why? He has eternal life. People would do anything to live forever, but the one thing that they need to do is to come to God. They won't do it. We'll do everything else to stay alive except come to God. And God says, come to me, and he that has me, you have eternal life. You have eternal life. And truly that light is in Jesus. Amen? He says that was the true light. And watch this. That lights every man. Every person can receive of that light. Now, here's the good news. You don't diminish the light. Just because my wife's got it and you've got it and all of us have this light, you don't diminish the power of this light. As a matter of fact, the brilliance of God cannot be depleted. I've never met a source like that. You know, when you think about something, this person is loaded and they got a lot of money. I guarantee you that the right event comes along and that money can be gone in the flash of an eye. But when you talk about the power of God, when you talk about the mercy of Jesus Christ, when you talk about the goodness of God, his light and his life can never be diminished. As a matter of fact, they tried to kill him. And he did die. But he rose again. Why? Because you can't kill life. He's alive. And what I'm telling you, he's alive in you. He's alive in your heart. And what you've got to do is simply respond to that light. The light illuminates. It brightens everything. It rejuvenates. But here's the last one. It elevates. It elevates. You are not going to stay down when you've been exposed to the light. You know, they have seasons around the South Pole and North Pole. They have these seasons of darkness, and people get real depressed because they're not exposed to light for long periods of time, and so they go through this time of where it's just gloomy, and they have to do everything they can to kind of make up some kind of light because it's dark for so long. We're in that season. The world is in that season of spiritual darkness because men are rejecting the light. Rather than loving Christ, rather than embracing the gospel, I don't need that. And the more and more they say they don't need it, they're going further and further into darkness. And it's almost now nothing surprises you. Oh, so-and-so did. Well, that doesn't surprise me. Because you see the gross darkness. But can I just give you a word this morning? That darkness is not for you. And it's not for a lot of other people that would be saved through you if you would just turn your light on. That's why if you let your light shine, somebody's going to see it. Think about the people that you've impacted. Think about the lives that you've touched. Maybe you witnessed to them, or maybe you just were a friend to them. Maybe you just said hello to them, and they saw something in you that caused them to say, I want that light. You will never know all of the things that you're doing, but one thing you can do is to let it shine. Now, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, don't take your light and put it under something, because it's not designed for that. Don't take your light and hide it. Put it on a candlestick. Hold it high and be proud of it, because this is the light that God has given you. Gentiles shall come to the light. And notice the word says, and to the brightness of your rising. Your rising. I did a little study on that, and I kind of was thinking about the moon and how the moon has an orbit. That orbit has been set. Okay, and it just does its thing. But in its orbit, it aligns with the sun. People say the moon is shining. No, the moon is not shining. The sun is shining on the moon. You get my point. And when the moon decides it want to turn this way and that way, the crest of the earth causes it to go through these phases or these certain cycles. Well, rather than a full moon, you have a half moon or a quarter moon or a new moon. Okay, and I'm not going to get into the farm stuff that relates to that. It'll blow your mind. Don't plant your corn on a new moon. All right, so your country folk nod at me. Yeah, that's right. Okay, but here's the point. Why do you have to go through cycles? If God has a plan and orbit for you, if his light is in you, why are you going through these? I'm a half Christian today. Oh, just wait till Monday and I'll be one fourth, or I might be disappearing altogether. Hello? Why don't you just stay in your, look at somebody and say, don't touch them. Just look at them and say, stay in your orbit. Stay in the plan that God has made for you. Maintain the path that he has you to walk in. Why do we come to church every day or every Sunday? I come every day, but why do we do that? We come because we need to make sure that we're staying with God's plan. Get out of orbit, you will not be exposed to the light. Get in the place where God wants you, then his light will shine through you. Very quickly, I got to close this. Colossians brings something up in this passage where it says, giving thanks to the Father, which has made us meet or fitting to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints. Notice the word in light, in his light. Part of your inheritance from God has to do with this light that God has. Next Sunday, we'll be talking about the hope that you have. Why is it that when everything is going wrong in your life, you still have this hope and you can hold your head up and smile? That's because you have an inheritance that does not fade away. You have something that is eternal, that no matter what circumstance comes in life, you can lift your head up and say, but God is going to make a way. You ever wondered how then when bad stuff was going on, you could still keep going on as if the Lord's going to make a way somehow. Let me tell you how my grandma put it. She would say, there's a bright side somewhere. Y'all talk to me here? See, and when you understand that this is what God has given you as your inheritance, you don't get blown out of proportion by stuff happening. You just hold on and hang in there and say, Lord, going to make a way somehow. God's going to work this thing out. Why? Because you have an inheritance that God has given to you. That's not going to fade away. Now, he could have given you the inheritance after you left this world. But some of the things you will need right here. Amen? Some of the things, the joy, the peace, the love. Yeah, you need it in a world of hatred. While people are hating on you, you loving on them. Why? Because you have an inheritance that does not fade away. Let me tell you what happened. I know a lot of you say, well, when God shined his light, I just came onto that light and I was obedient. No, it didn't happen that way. That's not the picture that God paints of you. He had to take you out of darkness. Why? Because Colossians said so. He said, who delivered us. Now, when you delivered something, you go and you, what does UPS do? They pick up a package from here and they take it here. And then you sign for it. When you were delivered from darkness, Satan did not want to let you go. But the grace and the mercy of God, the goodness of God, pulled you out of darkness, translated you into the kingdom of his dear son. And at that point, that's when your light came on. You said, glory be to God. I'm no longer living where I used to live. I've moved now. I've got a new residence. I've got a new determination. I've got a new attitude. I've got a new mind. I don't walk the same. I don't live the same because my life is different. The light is on. The light is on. That's because God had mercy on you. Said, I'm tired of them living in darkness. I'm tired of them living that same way. I'm going to go down and snatch them out of here. I remember one time my mama had to come looking for me. Lord have mercy. You 17 years old and you crazy. Right? And my mama had to come looking for me. She didn't come in and politely say, let's go. She came in and snatched me out of there. Hallelujah, somebody. I told y'all about the juice can incident. Yeah. High C written all over it coming my way. That's because my mama loved me. She loved me enough to realize I had a hard head. Yes, Lord. But I'm so glad that she was God's agent to get me out of darkness. Y'all wouldn't have a preacher today if it wasn't for my mama. Thank God for mama. Thank God for mama. Amen. That's the reason why my wife never had to come looking for me. Yeah. Because mama said, I'm going to get you straight. All right. All right. Everybody say amen. All right. Very quickly, the church is the light. And in order for us to respond to the light, we need to first arise. There has to be an awareness of what's going on. And God is calling for everybody to do this. Not just those who are involved in the direct ministries of the church, but those who are here as a part of the body of Christ. He's saying the church of Christ needs to arise. Then secondly, we need to speak up. Not only just get up, speak up. Isaiah paints a picture in chapter 6 where he says the Lord had moved and he was talking about what he was going to do for Israel. And then God asked the question, who will go for us? Whom shall I send? And Isaiah said, here am I. Send me. Speak up. Speak up. When people are putting God down, you say, wait a minute. I don't know about the God you serve. But let me tell you about the God. Since you brought up the subject, let me finish it. Let me just tell you about the goodness of the Lord. You giving your side, but you don't know like I know what he's done for me. You don't know the times that I've been weary, but he's healed my hope, my wounded heart. You don't know the times that God has ministered. Speak up. Then thirdly, look up. Look up. We're spending a lot of our time looking at what's going on in this world. It is not, I can tell you, it's not going to change. As a matter of fact, now I would tell you what my mama told me one time, but I can't tell y'all that. Yeah, that's for out of church conversation. All right. Yeah. But it was the truth. It was the truth. And as long as you look at the things of this world, it's going to always cause you to be broken, to be saddened, to be disappointed, to wake up on Monday morning and think that there's no hope. But when you start looking up and when you start thinking about God's grace, and God's mercy, it's going to brighten your entire day. Then thirdly, move up. Move up. Elevate. As a matter of fact, they got a church they call the Elevation Church. Of course, they're focusing on praise and worship. I want to focus on the word. You get enough word in you, it's going to cause you to grow. Now, 2 minutes, I'm going to take you to the farm. My dad, every time he would plant some, you know, in the springtime, he'd open up the ground and then he would put fertilizer in there. And so he put the fertilizer in, and Brother LePray, you think that the fertilizer was enough, right? You think it was enough. It would only cause it to grow a little bit. Later on, when the plant came up, my dad would go out and get some nitrogen soda. Don't worry about it. You don't need to know about it. But he would get some nitrogen soda, and he'd put beside the plants, and the plant that was growing pretty good, all of a sudden, when it would start responding to that nitrogen soda, it would grow like it was crazy. Are y'all with me? there's no way that God can reveal his goodness to you without something happening in your life. Now, if you started off with just knowing a few things about the Lord and a few things about his goodness and a few things about his mercy, but as soon as he turns that light, that nitrogen soda on, we're going to put something in your feet. Now, I know a lot of y'all city folk can't react to because you don't know what nitrogen soda does to a plant. But I can tell you what Jesus does for your soul. I can tell you that if you're broken, he will come in and he will heal you. If you're weak, he will strengthen you. And people will see that. They will start looking at you and they will say, why are you excited about God? That's because God's light has come on. And it's not ordinary. It's extraordinary. That's why when you sing, don't sing, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Give God a hand today. Amen. Father, we thank you for your goodness and mercy. We thank you, Lord, for the coming of Christ into this world. And as we celebrate this season of Advent, even before it gets Christmas, we want to celebrate the coming of the light. Because that's what you're doing in our lives. You're causing some wonderful things to happen in our hearts and lives, and we give you glory for it. We welcome your presence. We welcome the light of God into our hearts today. Come in and move out the darkness, move out the blindness, move out the hopelessness, that we might respond to your glorious light. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to give you an invitation today. If there's someone that you've never responded to God's light, now would be a great day. This is a good day. The light is on. Let that light come on in your heart. May we all stand. The invitation is given. Jesus said, whosoever will, let him come.